Oh my God, you guys, it was the best pie day. It was the best Friday. All of the days that end in I day were amazing.
That's right. We got a new Avengers Endgame trailer, and James Gunn has been announced as coming back for Guardians of the Galaxy 3. We're going to talk about all that right after this. Welcome to the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast. My name's Matthew Carroll.
And I'm Jeff Randall.
Hey, Jeff Randall.
Hey, Matt. Oh, my God, Matt.
Right?
Matt, guess what?
I've been dying to talk about all these things all weekend.
Oh, my God.
I had to drop it all on Friday when I've got work and, you know, playing music all over the state.
And I imagine that, like, while you're on stage, before you enter the next song, you're just like, can we all just talk about the Avengers Endgame trailer real quick? And then everybody, starts cheering, and then you start playing the song.
I definitely do that from time to time. not that exactly, but stuff like that. I'm like, yeah, you know, anybody seen Captain Marvel yet?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. I can't believe we have a new movie out, and we've decided to devote this week's recording time to other things. Like, I love Captain Marvel. It's great. I'm excited to talk about it more. But we've got two other huge things to talk about. This trailer and James Gunn. First off, I thought the way I found out about James Gunn was funny. One of our patrons over on Patreon, Jonathan Buren. Thank you, Jonathan, for your patronage. He just sent us a message that just said, James Gunn, ! And I was like, what does that mean? I don't know what's going on. What did I miss? And so I had to just Google James Gunn, ? And sure enough, I found the news. James Gunn's back, baby. He's back, baby.
My phone and I are going to have a discussion on what timely notifications are. because I was sitting in a business. I was sitting in a local business called Haircuttery. Can you guess what I was doing there? So I'm waiting, and I just happened to open my phone and look at just a blank tab on Google Chrome. And one of the things that's on there is just like Disney announces James Gunn ... And I was like, no, what? And immediately clicked on it, and you know, then I was notified, or at that point I was introduced to this article and this information, and apparently that was at 7 o'clock at night. Apparently, 4 or 5 hours earlier, everybody was hitting us on Facebook, sending us messages and posting on our feed, and I'm like, I never got any of that. And right about that time, my phone was just like, hey, you got some stuff to look at. And then just drops all the notifications on me. And I'm like, what are you doing, phone?
That's funny. Yeah, it's great doing this podcast because we will hear about it. The big news we will hear about.
Yeah.
We got tons of messages. We appreciate all you guys for messages. Dave from the DC on Screen podcast and the Star Trek Universe podcast he does with me, he called me. He's like, have you heard the news? It's like, what? I was like, yeah, actually, I knew exactly what he was talking about. I was like, oh, yes, I have.
It's funny when the news just means
something
related to a fandom that we're in.
There's so much going on in the geopolitical world, but we're like, oh, yeah, I know exactly the news you're talking about.
to hell with the attack that just happened. No, no, no. This is the important thing.
Yeah.
So we got an article posted on our feed. We got several other people all writing in about it through emails or through other posts on our wall or comments.
I know we got Jordan Olson, Andrew Gretsch, Brian V. Klein just says, fuck yeah.
Nathaniel Muzzy said, in a week where I got to see Captain Marvel and a new Endgame trailer, this is the news I'm happiest about. I'm willing to bet Matt is right there with me.
Yeah, he is correct. Absolutely correct.
And, you know, when I posted about it, because when I read the article, I didn't know. And then I went and immediately posted the post that I made that said that Disney rehired James Gunn. Oh, how the tables have turned. Right about that time is when I got all the notifications, and Omar Amalia commented on it and said, "Shooketh." It was like, "Shooketh, I say." And I was like, I don't know what you mean, but okay. And then now I get all the notifications, I'm like, oh, it's because he had already posted about it on our feed and said that he was shooketh, because he says, "I truly never thought this would happen. I'm shooketh. I know you guys like both movies and I wanted him back, but I felt the second volume was kind of weak, excluding the one scene in the entire MCU that ever made me cry, Yondu's funeral and Kraglin's proud cry. I wanted to see a fresh take. Bautista is probably thanking his gods, lol."
Well, interesting take. Interesting take. I thought the second one was great. I don't think it's as strong as the first, maybe. But man, it made me laugh. It made me cry. I'm totally in for a third James Gunn. I don't know that I want to see anyone else do it. I want to see him always do Guardians. Unfortunately, the one piece of bad news that comes with all this, sort of bad news, I'm excited to get any James Gunn movie, but he's doing Suicide Squad first, which means this will delay Guardians.
Yeah, it's going to take a minute. But at least we get it.
Yes, you know? Absolutely. Absolutely.
It is probably going to happen around the same time that we get new series from the Netflix series.
Yeah,
that's over probably on Disney Plus.
I mean, he'd already written it. I'm sure he had a lot of it planned out the way he wanted to do it. And I'm sure some of the background prep work can happen beforehand. So I think we'll get it, yeah, like you said, maybe 2 years, something like that. I bet originally it was going to be next May or something like that. And now it'll probably be 2 Mays from now.
Yeah, it's just going to be bumped back a little bit, that's all.
Yeah, and we've got lots of other stuff coming in the next couple years. We've got a Black Panther, a new Spider-Man, of course. We actually have a big gap after Spider-Man of now.
Yeah, as far as we know, there are a bunch of reserved dates for Marvel movies, but they haven't announced anything.
Right, but all those reserved dates are in 2020 or later, and so... We've been lucky that we've gone one in the spring, one in the summer, one in the winter, every year for years now, a couple of years now, and now this year they reorganized it. They put one in. Well, I guess they did February last year too with Black Panther.
Yeah, they did February Black Panther, and then late April, for Avengers, and then they did July for Ant-Man and the Wasp. So we had roughly the same gap.
I guess that's true. Yeah, that's
last
true.
Year that we we're have still, this we're
still, year. I wonder if we'll get three next year. Is what I wonder.
I think so.
I've heard some speculation that they might take a little bit of a breather, which some people are saying is a good thing. And I don't know. I don't know how I feel about a breather.
I don't want to stop.
I don't want to stop, but I also understand they're coming to a big ending with Endgame.
And so, man.
I could see them taking the foot off the gas and then coming back in hard next year or you know. But I'm just having fun with it, man. I want them to make more. I can't wait to hear. But I'm sure we'll get some sort of news on the Fox stuff soon. I'm waiting for another El Capitan theater moment.
Yeah, they haven't announced anything yet, the way that they did for Phase 3.
No.
I guess 2 and 3.
They did that all at once, so I'm wondering if they'll do that again. That would be amazing if they call their shot again, and they're like, here's the next 12 movies.
Right? It was mind-boggling that they did that when they called their shot that way.
Yeah.
But then they delivered on most of it.
They changed a couple things, but they delivered on
it. They changed, the Inhumans.
Yeah.
And when Spider-Man happened, they were just like, shit, yeah, let's throw some in there.
Yeah.
Sprinkle in some Spider-Man real quick.
Mm-hmm.
But for the most part, they delivered on everything that they had said. And they have all been awesome movies. I don't remember any one of them not being really good.
Yeah. I'm with you, man. They're batting 1,000 at Marvel. And you know, we have issues with different ones. We're not a Pollyanna podcast. We're a sorry, I just said Pollyanna podcast, and it reminded me of Polly Pockets. You know,
yeah,
from when we were children.
I do remember that.
Okay, sorry.
Not firsthand, but I do remember seeing those commercials.
Oh, I played with them.
That's fine.
All right, and we got another piece of news before we get into the in-game trailer. Marvel is producing a What If TV series for Disney Plus.
Yeah, this is one of the things that'll fill the gap, you know?
That's true. Oh, yeah. I don't think we're getting much gap. I think I'm just talking about on the movies, they might take a little bit of a breather. It looks like they're still going to. I wonder if they're ever going to do four a year. Because they've been dropping one in the February area every year, one in the April, May area every year, and one in July. And for a few years, they were dropping a November movie about every year. And I wonder if they'll ever do the February and the November together, and we'll just get four. Man. That'd be fun.
That would be dope. That would be so much, though.
I'm totally down.
I guess they've been testing the waters because, like, you know, they were doing. Let's see, they did Thor Ragnarok during November.
Yeah, which did well.
They did Doctor Strange during November.
Also did pretty well.
God, I'm trying to go back in my head, like, how many have been in November?
Yeah, it's okay.
But then there have been several that happened in March, like the Winter Soldier happened in March.
Yeah.
And that did amazing.
Yeah, and of course, there's always like an early, you know, the dream would be if they're dropping one every quarter, you know, like,
yeah,
one, yeah, it'd be so much fun. I'm down.
That's so much money. Oh, my God.
If they keep the quality high, I'm down.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, they have the bullpen to do it, you know? Like,
yeah,
it's
now
there.
That they got James Gunn back. they were. I was honestly worried there for a minute because they lost Edgar Wright, which pissed me off, as you know, for years. I kept saying, I still can't watch Ant-Man without thinking, this would be better if Edgar Wright had directed it. It's good, but it would be better. And then them losing James Gunn, I was like, man, and lost Joss Whedon. Like, they're losing their bullpen. Their big bullpen. And the Russos have started their own production company, and I have a feeling that they're going to want to start doing more for themselves. Hopefully they'll continue to do some Marvel movies here and there.
Yeah, here and there. I mean, they did the Winter Soldier and Civil War and Infinity War, and they are doing Endgame.
Yeah, that's four movies from one set of directors. That's a lot.
Yeah.
That's a lot to ask. That's like 10 years of those guys' lives. Actually, it's probably more like 5 years of those guys' lives.
I mean, as quick as these have come out, it's been it's been a short amount of time.
Yeah, it's true. Man, crazy. Okay. Nathaniel Muzzi talking about this What If series says, let's be honest, they'd be dumb not to skim an entire season of premises off the dumb theories I send you guys.
Yep.
I agree. Nathaniel, they should definitely make some Nathaniel Muzzi section on this What If series.
I support that.
What do you think they'll do with this What If series? Do you think they'll go with, like, known characters, telling known stories?
I mean, the What If series in comics is, like, some of everything, basically.
Yeah.
Like, anybody can make anything up and then say, like, what if this happened? It's hard to say that, you know, they would go in any direction, but I would think that they would, in order to get a like a solid fan base to start on the show, they would go with known characters. So
yeah.
Like, what if what if Captain America was never found? I think is the one. Or what if he disappeared during World War II? Was one of the series.
Right.
I think there was one that was like, what if the X-Men died on their first mission or something like that? They would, in order to bring people to the show, they would have to do these kind of larger named stories.
Possibly. It depends on how much they're wanting the show to be.
Yeah. But then, you know, again, it's a Disney Plus thing, so they're gonna have people there anyway.
Yeah, and I mean it's a Marvel thing; they're gonna have people there anyway. It's gonna have some sort of audience. It depends on how big they want the audience. Of course, we know they're doing things like the Loki series
and Scarlet Witch,
the Scarlet Witch series, the possible buddy series between Winter Soldier and
Falcon.
Like that's there's these great series that are possibly happening. And those are going to star the actual actors who play those roles in the movies. So it's very possible that this Disney, even this series could be a what if series that actually stars Chris Evans and Robert Downey Jr. And, you know, that would be amazing. Cause even if we lose some of those characters in the movies, like they could still come in for a what if here and there.
Yeah. That would be really fun.
Yeah.
Like, what if Sebastian Stan was Cap?
Yeah, absolutely. What if he took over, you know, in World War, what if Cap had been the one to fall and Bucky took over as Cap and had, you know, and then we find out that in Winter Soldier that Chris Evans is Winter Soldier. You know? Oh, man.
Captain Hydra.
Captain Hydra. All right. Let's get into this Avengers trailer, man. What did you think?
My God, I am so unbelievably excited. The hype is so real. Like, if we're just talking about things that I loved about it, I love the visual difference between, because this trailer had a lot of shots from older movies. It's basically, this is the senior capstone project. You know? Yeah.
Well, it's amazing because they're again, they've talked about how they're not showing anything from before 15 minutes. So to drum up interest, instead of like doing what they always do, which is show us too much, they're only showing us things from, you know, 10 years ago, 11 years ago now, with the Iron Man 1 and Captain America 1. They showed big portions of this trailer were just taken right out of those movies. Yep. Like you said, with a visual difference of being black and white except for the little splashes of red.
Except for red. Red is the only color that they're showing in all of these. And, like, I want to dig into that saying, like, oh my God, that has to be something. Like, is that the reality stone? Is that what's happening? Like, are we doing something with the reality stone?
Is it something to do with the quantum realm or with Ant-Man? He's red. There's a lot of things we could say. It could be something to do with Scarlet Witch. Her powers are red.
Yep.
A lot of things we could do here. Doctor Strange's cape is red. Okay, that may be. Yeah, I may have stretched.
Thor's cape is red.
That's right. That's right.
Most of them bleed red.
That's true. Most.
Oh,
of them.
Oh no.
Most of them.
Most of them.
By the way, one of the things that stood out to me in the entire trailer is Nebula is suited up as an Avenger.
Yeah, Nebula is in the red and white. The what I'm gonna call the space costume or the quantum realm costume.
Yeah, we don't know what they're for, but they're whatever they are. It looks like they're suiting up for whatever adventure they're going on. It could be quantum realm. It could be space. It could be time. We don't know. We're assuming. I'm assuming it's one of those three things. But I am like equal parts. Like I'm not really leaning any of those ways. That could be the suit they're using to go into the Soul Stone. That could be the suit they're using to go out into space and avenge Earth from Thanos. It could be the suit they're using, to go back in time. It could be some sort of Pym-Tech suit. We just have no idea.
I love that we just, it's so many possibilities.
Yep.
It's everywhere. It's all of it. It's any and all of it, and okay, so we had a little bit of feedback specifically about the trailer that I was just looking into, and it kind of like it gets me excited in a theory breaking kind of way.
Okay,
so the bits of feedback were specifically about Nebula, where you're talking about being excited about. It was from Yoda Hugh. He said that Nebula's walking with the Avengers at the end with the suits on, in all caps, lots of exclamation marks, but he also says, slow-mo walk, why is Nebula there twice? Behind Cap and behind Widow.
Hmm.
So, if you look at it, this is at the... He's talking at about the minute 53-ish mark. You get Nebula walking kind of sort of behind Cap, but beside Scott Lang. And then a couple of seconds later at 157, you get her walking behind, sort of corner behind Tony Stark. And sort of almost in line with Black Widow. And, like, that order wasn't there before. Like, maybe they just shot it a few times and they were walking, you know, at a different pace through those different times. But I think that could possibly be different times that they're doing the same thing. They're right. Getting people and adding to the lineup. Because what if Tony Stark actually died in space?
Hmm. And they go off and save him somehow.
Yeah, they bring him from the past.
So almost like a Groundhog's Day Avengers Endgame, where they keep doing the same. They have to keep going back to the beginning with like a slight difference.
Yeah,
yeah. No, that could be fun. It could be fun. But I don't know. It also could be the case that this is still an early trailer. They're probably still editing this movie. This could just be different shots taken at different times, and they were the most epic looking for the trailer, and they didn't think anyone would notice, but of course we notice.
Yeah, of course we notice. We go frame by frame through this thing.
Yes, we are going to do that in a minute. Of course, one of the biggest things to talk about in this trailer is Whatever It Takes.
Whatever It Takes.
This is obviously the stark contrast to We Don't Trade Lives, which was their catchphrase last season. On the Avengers television show. They don't trade lives, but now it's Whatever It Takes. So I'm excited about that. I'm excited that it's clearly that they've grown, they've realized their mistake last time, and they're coming back ready to do whatever it takes. It's cool.
Yeah.
Dig it.
Yeah. I mean, Cap at one point in the trailer says, you know, I've told people to move on, and some do, but not us.
Yeah.
Ah, God, so just, it's all of the hype. Mm-hmm. It's all of it.
Yeah,
it's all of it, Matthew.
I am very hyped. I'm very, very hyped. All right, well, we got one more piece of feedback about the trailer. A.R. Watkins says, hey guys, love the show. With Kevin Feige stating in an interview that there are many, many surprises in Avengers Endgame and the quantum realm appearing to possibly be a plot device, do you think Dr. Jane Foster could make an appearance to help the Avengers? Outside of the Ant-Man and the Wasp characters, she is the only other character I remember mentioning quantum energy in Thor: The Dark World, and she has a tie-in with the Reality Stone. Thanks.
Ooh.
What's the tie-in with the reality? Oh, yeah, yeah, right. She
hosted the Aether for a little bit.
All right, yeah, yeah. And that was Rashad W. Interesting. I would love to see good old Natalie Portman again, but I kind of don't think so. Mostly because I think they have all the science bros they need. Between Pym, Tony, Nebula having more science knowledge from space. They have
Rocket.
Rocket. Hulk. Banner. They have all these people already. And she wasn't in the last few movies. I think Natalie Portman might just be done with the role. But I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, we thought that about Gwyneth Paltrow for a while. She didn't show up in a couple of Avengers things, and we were like, oh, I guess Gwyneth's done, and then she showed up in the last Avengers, so who knows? She might, but also Thor and her broke up, supposedly.
It was a mutual breakup.
It could be great. It could be an awkward moment for Hulk, for Thor, which would be in line with the kind of new comedic tone they've been taking with him. Could be fun. But yeah. But I have a feeling there's just too much to do in this movie. That's my main.
What if there's that whole like awkward thing where like he got with Captain Marvel, because apparently people are shipping that. He got with Captain Marvel and then she shows up and he's like, oh, hey, Jane, this is Carol. And then, you know, all that awkwardness has to happen.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I, as much as I would love to see that scene, I don't think I need it in this movie. You know? Yeah,
well, this movie has so much movie to tell.
Yeah, for sure.
And you know, the question keeps coming up as, like, how long is the movie going to be? Like, people in the press, really, or the press conferences and whatever, like, every time anybody gets an interview with the Russos, they're like, how long is the movie going to be? And the Russos keep saying, like, oh, yeah, it's like 3.5 hours. It's like 3 hours and 20 minutes. It's like 3 hours. And they've never, like, they keep saying, like, yeah, we're cutting it down. We're cutting it down. We're trying to, but we're still at like 3 hours long. So we're looking at potentially having a 3 hour movie here, which is at least 30 minutes longer than any other MCU movie.
Yeah, it's insane. It's insane. And it better be, honestly. Like, I want this movie to be 3 hours. Like, I'm okay with an intermission. We have given them so much money. Disney's made all the money. And this is where they're doing something different than DC again. DC made Justice League, and it should have been 3 hours, you know? But they made them cut that movie down. They made them reformat it completely to try to get it under time so that they could have more showings and make more money. And I'm just like, you'll make more money if the movie's good. And if you're giving people value for the time they're investing, and they're just not going to make that mistake. I think they're going to give us a 3 hour movie or close to it, possibly with an intermission.
Potentially.
I'd love that. It's just a celebration of the last 10 years of good movie making. They've made lots of money, and they're going to make lots of money, and they're going to make more money if this movie is worth it, worth going to see more times, you know?
Yeah. I mean, like I had said, you know, and I stand by it, this is their senior capstone project. The MCU is graduating, yeah, you know?
Absolutely.
And this is the culmination of everything that they've done. They have to tie up all of these things into this massive finale. It better be a hell of a movie as far as time and content.
Yeah.
And, you know, if the Russo brothers want to take a minute off, you know, after this, I respect that, because they've done a shitload of work.
Yeah, for sure. Well, let's get into our shot-by-shot look at this trailer.
Okay.
I love the first shot of this trailer. It looks so epic. And I love that it's pulled from the first Iron Man. It reminds me a lot of Star Wars, actually.
Really?
Yeah. Just like it reminds me of like a crash ship on Tatooine or something, you know?
Yeah. I love that they pulled it from the first Iron Man, because, again, like, they're going all the way back to the beginning.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's really the first time anyone suited up in the Marvel Universe.
Yep. Yeah, and he said it felt like 1,000 years ago, which, to be honest, like, for us, it does feel like that. It feels like it's been so damn long.
Yeah.
Because it's been 11 years at this point since the movie released.
Yep.
And, yeah, like, think how long it feels like for the character, you know, just being assaulted every day.
Yeah. I was so young. And naive.
When we had like one movie coming out every 2 years, we were like, oh my God, Marvel. And then now we've got like, we got to the point earlier today where we're like, I wonder if they're going to do 4.
Yeah. It's insane to think about, where we were. And the idea of an interconnected universe of Marvel movies was an insane idea. Like when we found out in 2008, when Nick Fury shows up and says what he says, we were shocked. We were absolutely shocked. Yep. And now we've got this incredible universe that we have. It's crazy.
Yep. God, the excitement that I had in Iron Man 2 at the end of it, in the post-credit stinger, where Phil Coulson is standing there saying, you know, he's talking on the phone with Fury, likely, and it pans over to
Thor's hammer. Yeah.
Oh my god, I lost my shit.
I bet.
I lost my shit four times because I went to see it in the theater four times.
So good. And then we get a shot of the ship from Guardians of the Galaxy. What's the name of the ship?
The Milano.
The Milano. I thought the Milano.
Named after.
No, I thought the Milano was different. The Milano was in the first one. They had a different one in the second movie.
Did they?
Yeah, it's called the Benatar. Is that right? I wanted to say that, but I wasn't sure, so I didn't. But now
I don't remember if he renamed it, actually.
Well, I don't think it's renamed. I think in the last one, at the end of the movie, they're just in a different ship. Or for some reason. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm totally wrong. For some reason, I thought that there were two different ships. The one they're in at the end of Avengers is different. But
I mean, maybe it would make sense because, you know, the ships have gotten a little bit toe up.
Right. They do repair it at the Milano at the end of the end of Guardians 1. But for some reason, I thought the one they were in at the end of Avengers was different. I may be wrong, though. Or maybe it could be a Nebula ship. I don't know. I just thought this was a different ship. I thought this was not the Milano specifically, but I could be wrong. It looks pretty similar to the Milano. So maybe I'm just like totally pulling that out of my butt. I don't know where I got that.
Well, I mean, it would be like if you think about they were on Titan and the Guardian showed up on Titan.
Yeah.
And they had that fight, and then Nebula crashed into Thanos, and you know she's there, Tony's there. They're the only two that are on Titan, so that ship is there. You know, landed safely somewhere.
Yeah. So it may be the Milano. I could have sworn it was something else, but it's fine.
It's the Guardian ship. Either way,
right.
I think it's interesting in the shot with the ship that red is still the color of choice to be shown. Like he's in space. And being in space, like, that's him in that ship is new footage for us, but it still seems like they're focusing really hard on the red.
Yeah. No, I agree. But it's not as desaturated as the other stuff is, but it is.
Yeah.
There's definitely red prominently placed in that shot as well. His shirt is red.
I mean, it's, you know, his shirt, right? Yeah. And then... Then we get
the Cap
footage.
Stuff, which is so emotional for me.
Right.
Like the classic shot of Captain America not being tall enough to stand in that image.
And then when he came out of the chamber, she said, "How do you feel?" And he said, "Taller." Like, God. So along with the Cap stuff, it, you know, we see him sitting in that same room with the what looked like the support group.
Yeah.
But the thing that really hits me as far as emotions is the next shot where we see Hawkeye looking like he's training somebody to shoot a bow and arrow,
mm-hmm.
and he high fives her. I'm assuming that's his daughter.
Yeah.
But then the very next shot is the saddest looking Jeremy Renner ever,
mm-hmm.
and you know that they just broke him with Thanos.
Yeah.
You know that Thanos broke him.
I have a feeling that sitting there training his daughter, and then he looks down, and she becomes Ash. Like that's, I think we're gonna get that. Or they get done training, they go back home to see his family, hugs them all, and they all just turn to Ash.
Oh,
I think they're not gonna pull punches with whatever happens.
Wreck him.
Yeah.
And then Natasha seeing him, like when you pause it for a moment, you can see the tears welling up in her eyes. Like, first off, that's really great acting on her part to be able to hold on to that.
Mm-hmm.
But like, you know, she knows, and you know that there's just all that pain, and you know, she grabs his hand to like, can't deal with it.
He's got this Ronin costume and he's out murdering fools, apparently, with a sword.
Apparently.
Like, who is he out murdering? Like, who do you go for vengeance against when half the world has disappeared? And, like, it seems like she's going to bring him in, sort of thing. Like, okay, you're out doing this crazy stuff. I'm going to need you to come in. Like, who does he think is responsible?
I don't know, but I'm betting that he likely just immediately said, you know what, any bad person has to be killed. He's going full Punisher, basically. Like, if we allow bad people to survive, then we're allowing them the chance to destroy half of the universe. You know, we just have to kill them.
When you can do bad things and you don't, and the bad people continue to do their bad things, then those bad things happen because of you.
Right, right. With great killing power comes great killing responsibility.
That's right.
Yep, yep, that's exactly it. So, immediately after that, we see the shot of Cap, you know, being a pallbearer at Peggy's funeral from Civil War, with red being the prominent color again,
yep,
right beside him.
This scene is the scene that gets me in the trailer.
Yeah, yeah, because he's holding back those tears too.
Yeah.
And it's like they're rolling through, like, remember when, and then, like, it goes to Asgard, which doesn't exist anymore, yeah, with red flags, everything is black and white. We see Odin, who is dead, you know, and the old shot of Thor with, you know, his lesser beard, his longish hair before he got to, like, super long, still prominently displayed red cape, mm-hmm, or red color scheme.
Yeah, and you just see, you see a shot of Thor standing on the battlefield watching people disappear, but his mind is on his father, like, which I think is very poignant. It's that loss, maybe, that we never really got to see him experience in the movie, in Thor Ragnarok, because the movie was so jokey. Maybe we'll finally get him dealing with loss, you know? Like, I think he's been trying to keep a good front for the last few movies.
He's been facading everything.
In Infinity War, there's a lot of pain in his, kind of behind the jokes, and yep, and which I think was much better portrayed than it was in Ragnarok. I don't think there was. He had some of that same thing in Ragnarok, but I didn't. The movie did not allow me to feel it, and already in this trailer, I am feeling it. Like the thoughtfulness behind Thor, the King Thor that is back there.
yep.
And not just the jokester that they've sort of made him up to be. Like I love a sad clown, you know. Like, and I'm happy to see him be a sad clown. But I need there to be a little sadness there for this, for his character to work on an emotional level, not just a fun level, you know.
Yeah.
And this trailer excites me because it's like him seeing all this death and thinking about his father. Like, that's what he'd be doing. Like, I thought I was done losing. You know, I thought I was done losing everything. And now I've,
right?
Now I've lost way more than that. You know, I had already lost my home and my father and my sister that I just met. Like,
and my people, you know, Heimdall, my brother,
mm-hmm,
like, all of this, and, you know, that's still relatively fresh for him. And, you know, he's like, I got the new axe, I got the new hammer axe, you know, I got Stormbreaker.
Yeah.
So I thought that, you know, this was the turning point, and we still lost.
Mm-hmm.
And the look of shock on his face over that is just, it says it all. That says it all right there.
Yeah, it's heartbreaking. Yep. Minute one, second two, there's a shot of him just looking shocked, and it's really, really heartbreaking.
Yep.
Poor Scarlet Witch disappearing.
Yep.
Probably chose that shot because it had a lot of red in it.
Yep, yep. And then there's Cap with no beard.
Yeah, I have a feeling he's coming in from the cold, you know?
He's bringing it back.
He's been out there as Nomad, doing his thing, and now he's coming back. I think it's interesting they're even able to go to their, it looks like they're in their offices or whatever. The Avengers.
Yeah, it looks
offices.
Like they're in the Avengers area, or the, you know, in upstate New York. I mean, Bruce is there, Nat's there, Nat's got red hair again.
Mm-hmm. I really am curious how they're going to treat this whole thing politically.
What do you mean?
Because I don't know if everyone's going to say, look, the Avengers got involved, and so we need tighter restrictions on them than ever because the Avengers got involved and they lost and we
or, the Avengers got involved and we lost half the population.
Yeah, of the, like, universe. Or
yep.
If we're going to get a world that says, okay, look what happens when we put handcuffs on the Avengers. They couldn't fight because we were keeping them apart. This is what happens. Sokovia Accords are no longer a thing. Like, I don't know if it'll even be an issue because half the world has just disappeared. There's probably much bigger fish to fry.
Right. But you know that if General Ross is still around, he's got something to say about it because he's a dick.
Yeah. So I'm curious. You know, he may go to them and say, I'm sorry. Like, I fought you guys real hard, and it maybe if I hadn't fought you. Or maybe he doesn't have anything to say because he's Ash.
Yeah. Well, that's why I said if he's still around.
Yeah.
Like, if he didn't get Ashed, then he's got something to say.
Yeah.
Yep. So, one of the things that that has been going around Reddit is in this next shot where there's all the missing posters on the poll. People are like, who's Tony P. Henderson? Why is he so prominently displayed? And I don't know.
Yeah, I think that's just a missing poster. It's just showing that there's a lot of people missing. And Scott Lang's somehow coming back from the quantum realm and seeing what had happened.
Yeah. Yeah, that does look exactly like that. It's kind of like a, he shows up and is like, what? What's going on? Why? What's all this about?
Yep, kind of thing. That is what's happening.
And is like stumbling around, not sure of where he is, when he is, whatever. Yeah. What happened? You know?
This next shot, what ship is that?
It's a Quinjet.
Okay, cool.
It looks like the Quinjet that Cap and team had stolen and were using in Infinity War.
Okay, gotcha. I couldn't tell. I was like, that's not Tony's, right?
No. That's the...
Because it's Quinjet. It's little double wings or whatever.
Yeah, no, it's the stolen Quinjet that Ross had mentioned.
Okay.
Let's see.
Scarlet Witch's hair in that scene.
It's so pretty.
Very pretty.
I like
the French braid situation happening.
Yep. I like that she, you know, she and Hawkeye are back together, you know, in the same room, and she's like finding comfort in him putting his hand on her shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's the little things really that really show the humanity. That whole like putting her chin on his arm.
Yeah, the affection between them just seems so earned.
Yeah, yeah. And then that's the next shot with I'm assuming Hawkeye running down a tunnel before an explosion happens. Yeah.
That looks like the same shot we get a little later with Ant-Man.
It might be.
There's flames. There's some things on his back. Like, all of that looks a lot like the shot we get at the end. And I guess we'll get to that when we get there. But there's a shot at the end where Ant-Man is, like, also running through some flames and leaping over something. I don't know. We'll get there in a minute.
It looked like he leaped on a pencil.
Yeah, or like, yeah. I could not tell. Maybe it was a pencil. I love the shot of Rocket.
Yeah.
Is he on? Yeah. Forgive me. Did Rhodey disappear?
Rhodey did not.
Okay.
Rhodey was looking for Sam when he disappeared.
Oh, okay. That's right. I was like, didn't Rhodey disappear? I can't remember. All right. Nope. So Rhodey and Rocket, that seems like a duo that I want to see. I really want to see.
Oh, God.
Freaking Rhodey responding to a sentient raccoon. Like, that sounds... amazing. It sounds amazing for him to like even understand that that's a thing. Like the shock on Don Cheadle's face when he meets a sentient raccoon, but even better when he learns to trust and fight alongside a sentient raccoon. Like that is going to be great.
I want to see War Machine get outfitted by Rocket Raccoon.
Yeah.
That's what I want.
Yeah. He's like constantly upgrading his armor.
Yeah, like, I wouldn't think that Rocket would care about upgrading his armor. He's probably going to upgrade all of his guns.
Well, that's what I mean, like, the suit. Upgrading the suit.
Yeah.
But all the while asking to borrow his body parts.
Right? How much for the arm? It's not for sale. Oh, I'm going to get that arm.
You're barely using them legs anymore.
Oh, no.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, man, that was a good one. You got me. You got me good. You're not even using them. It's all the machine.
I could do something with them legs.
Okay. Oh, my God.
And then next we got Cap's face, just looking sad as hell.
Yep. As he says, we will.
Yeah.
And it looks like it's in the same area that Hawkeye is in that next frame, where he looks kind of like, oh, yeah, sure you will. But then he says, whatever it takes. And that's when it starts the whole whatever it takes thing. And I, like, every sentence that I say now has to end with whatever it takes.
Do you think Scott Lang lost Cassie?
Don't you do that.
Right? Like, it's bad thinking about... We've talked so much about who Hawkeye lost. We've not talked about who Scott possibly lost.
He lost Hope, and he lost Hank, and he lost Hank's wife, Janet.
That's all true. But what if he lost Cassie?
He didn't lose Cassie. Stop! Don't do that!
He might have lost Cassie.
No! Cassie has been cast in the movie, older.
Yeah, but that could be after he dies, sacrificing himself to save her.
No!
And then she's like, you know, doing some sort of memorial. I'm just effing with you. I don't think you lost Cassie.
It hurts so bad to think about that.
I honestly think it would be too hard. Like, I think that Hawkeye is the kind of character that we can see go through pain because he's hardened and grizzled and he's a spy. I think if Scott Lang lost Cassie... Like, I think he's going to run. I think he's going to see all these missing posters, find out what happened, and we are going to see, like, a frantic Scott Lang running home to find his daughter, because that's his, like, you know, he knows he lost his girlfriend and her father and his wife, and he, like, runs home to find out if he lost Cassie or not, to make sure she still exists.
Yeah. Yep.
Do you think we lost Antony?
There are so many ants that have been lost, man.
But Antony, you know, the big one.
Yeah, yeah. He did not, actually, because he was at the end. He's in the post-credits. During the, you know, when the...
You're right. He's after
when the world is in disarray, he's just playing drums.
He's one of the few characters we know survived the snapping.
The snapture.
Oh, Antony survived the snatcher. Good answer. Good for Antony.
Good for Antony. God, so dumb.
So dumb. And do you think he'd be playing the drums like that if
he knew?
If Cassie were gone?
Stop. Don't.
All right. Let's move on.
Do not even mention that little girl again. I will hang up on you.
Don't worry, man. She's going to be like a teenager in this one, it seems like. So she's probably...
She's fine. She's
probably a bad person.
She's hardened. She's hardened by the world, but she's alive. Damn it. Okay.
So hold on. Let's talk a little bit. Okay. We've talked a lot about Scott Lang... Quantum realm, time eddies, being able to go back and use the quantum realm as a possible way of getting back in time.
Yep.
We've also talked about Scott Lang going to the past and doing like a real Back to the Future thing where he goes back to 1983. Isn't that when Back to the Future came out, which is kind of awesome? I would love if that was just like a reference to Back to the Future. Anyway, what we have not talked about is what if he stays in the quantum realm a while? And by the time he comes out, Cassie's a teenager. And like those missing posters we see wrapped around the pole, they look real old.
Yeah.
They look like they've been there a while. What if he comes back to a universe that's like in it, time has elapsed for him. And just through the eyes of Scott Lang, we see what has happened to the universe. And then that's when he goes back in time to try to help the Avengers. Like then,
he sees the future.
Like yeah, like what if Scott Lang is our window into seeing the full on future that we might get? We've been talking about if there's a time jump, but what if there's not, except for Scott Lang? Like Scott Lang sees the time jump, and no one else does. And because I really do want to see what happens in a post-Snapchat world like 10 or 15 years later, you know?
Yeah, that would be really rad.
I really have been wanting to see it ever since that idea came to us or whatever, and we've been talking about it. And I would love to see Scott Lang comes out of, you know, the quantum realm. Maybe he goes through Time Eddie and ends up 10 years in the future, and then he has to use, like, talk to Goliath or whatever and figure out how to use them to get back in time. And then he comes back, and then they all have the ability to time travel or whatever. Get a badass shot next of Thor powering up. And
yeah.
And then we get Nebula, like, swinging her swords, looking badass. And actually, the Nebula shot kind of looks like it's on Titan, almost. Like, I don't know where she is, but she looks like she's still on Titan.
It looks a lot like the Titan bit when she had, like, drawn one of the swords and ran at Thanos. But it looks much more like a war zone. Because if you see in the background all the fires and the wreckage and everything.
Yeah, but he had already thrown a moon at some point. Like, there's all kinds of crap happening on Titan. I don't know. It looks like Titan. It could be anything, though.
Yeah. And actually, I think Titan was more reddish.
Okay. It's just a lot of smoldering happening.
Yeah.
But, you know, we've been told we so far haven't seen much beyond the 15-minute mark. But I think that shot of Nebula, possibly, and maybe this shot coming up of Ant-Man are, like, two of the things that might be post 15 minutes.
Yeah.
We get a really cool shot of Natasha, again, with a very nice braid in her hair.
Yep. But blonde.
But blonde this time. Firing a gun in rhythm with the Avengers music, which I always love. Always love it.
Yep. And you had mentioned during our Captain Marvel feedback that you love the beats of the movie to sync up with the beats of the music.
Right. I definitely like that as a technique, and I think they just missed an opportunity in Captain Marvel to do that a little bit.
Yeah, and then in here, it just, I understand what you're talking about now. Like, I thought I knew before, but then having this here, it's like, oh, yeah.
Like, yeah. Just, oh, so good.
It drives home just how impactful the events have been and how impactful the music can be.
Yeah, and it makes Natasha look that much more like a badass, which is why I thought it would be cool. It puts this, so when the music in the background goes with the actual events of the movie, events of the movie are set to the music in that way, it makes the entire experience feel as if, like, that character is one with the universe. Does that make sense? It makes it feel like they're feeling a flow beyond themselves. It's almost like they're breaking the fourth wall, but they're not. Everything that's happening makes sense. There's nothing that couldn't happen in the rhythm that it's happening, but it makes it feel like they're going with some sort of universal flow. You know what I mean? They do it. And again, Edgar Wright, James Gunn. I want to say possibly Tarantino's done some things with this too. And obviously that Punisher trailer we saw, like, those, I love that technique. And I not to relitigate, but I really loved it. I really wish they'd done it in Captain Marvel.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, this shot with Nat had been, there had been theories of, like, what if this was Cassie?
Huh.
Like, Cassie in the future, you know, doing gun training or whatever. But I think this is really just her blowing off some steam.
Yeah.
I think this is Natasha blowing off some steam.
Yeah, I think so too. Get a great shot of Cap. A great shot of Cap.
Yeah, we had seen the strapping in of the shield before, where it was like his hand was kind of wavering and he, you know, strapped it up. But it looks like this kind of goes right along with his gritting his teeth. And you can see, like, the blood on his mask and dirt all over his face. Like, he's in it. He's in this fight.
Yeah.
Oh, and then there's the shot that we had mentioned.
Yeah, definitely
it's
a pencil. Ant-Man's jumping off a pencil. And you think that's Rhodey's head he's jumping over? It looks like someone's head.
You talking about the curved thing in the background?
Yeah, it moves.
That looks like a roll of duct tape.
Keep playing. It moves in a way that makes me think it's a head. But maybe it's just the duct tape falling over. Who knows?
Yeah, it looks like a roll of duct tape.
Yeah, I think you're right. It might just be a roll of duct tape.
It looks like he's jumping off of an office desk or something.
Yeah. Super fun.
with fires all over the place. there's an audio cable right there.
I was going to say, it looks like a quarter-inch cable, guitar cable, dangling off the desk as well. Really weird. And then he's falling. And those two shots might be two separate things, because then it looks like he's diving over some sort of water feature.
Nope. There's the cable.
Oh, is it?
In the background. Yeah, the cable's in the left side on the background.
Okay. Right there. Maybe not.
Yep. So there's a fire, and there's water, and there's an office desk. Like, what the hell is going on?
And an audio cable. Like, that's all weird. Is it a music studio that's burning down?
Yep, that he has to dive out of.
Then I'm going to say that's not duct tape. That's gaffer's tape.
Okay. I could get behind that. It's a roll of tape, though.
Yeah.
It's not Rhodey's head. It's not a Rhodey head.
I thought
it's
it was a roll a person. Of tape. I thought he was jumping over the first few times I watched this.
I want to think that whole thing is happening in the future when he's like in the post-apocalyptic future.
Right.
And he's trying to escape some events that happened in there so that he can come back.
Yeah.
That's what I want to believe is happening.
Yeah, absolutely could be. Then we get the big hero shot. Everyone walking to the beat.
Whatever it takes.
Everyone walking. Whatever it takes. And we get everyone in the white and red suits.
And so here we are. Do you see what I'm talking about, though? Like, in the first bit, we see Cap. There's Nebula in the background.
Absolutely. I do.
And then, I mean, maybe, you know, looking at it a little bit more, maybe the shoulder that is popping up behind Cap is Stark.
Yeah, that's actually probably true.
Could be.
Yeah, I think that's what it is. I don't think there's a problem. I think it's just, I think it's just we couldn't see him behind Cap. Okay.
Cap's got broad shoulders, so
indeed. Little tiny Tony man hiding behind Cap's shoulders. Then we get a nice, fun little stinger for the trailer. They like put a little comedy at the end to let us know it's not going to be so dire. And it's Thor calling his hammer over Captain Marvel's shoulder. And Captain Marvel not flinching.
At all, slightest. And it looks like it's so serious, you know? Like, it's effectively the dick measuring that you would think is happening between heroes.
And Cap versus, I just called her Cap for the first time.
Uh-oh.
Cap Marvel. Cap Mar, if you will.
She gives him a little squint.
Gives him a squint and a smirk. A
little bit of a smirk.
I really like the idea of her in Avengers. I liked that sort of attitude, that sort of smarmy, as I said, Daria-esque. Like, she's just, like, always, like, she just has sort of this just Gen X sort of attitude about everything. It's very 90s. I like it. But by itself, it felt a little, I don't know. It was hard to love her character, you know? But it was hard to connect with her character in the movie. But as a part of a team, I love that, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
I think it'll add a really cool element as a part of a team.
Yep. And then, you know, he says, "I like this one," and looks at blonde haired Natasha. Like, she cannot get her hair color or style to be one thing.
Yeah. Stormbreaker is tall.
Yeah.
I didn't realize how tall it was until this shot where he's leaning on it.
He's using it effectively like a big cane.
Yeah, that's weird. I didn't realize it was that big. That's a big old hammer.
It is. It's a sledge axe, basically, or a maul.
Cool.
You ever dealt with a maul?
I have not dealt with anything.
Okay, that's fair.
All right. Well, that's all the shots. Any last minute thoughts on this trailer, Jeff?
Not on the trailer. I can say that April 26th is not coming fast enough.
Right. It is not.
It is not.
It
is not.
It's kind of because I've got to lose. I want to lose 30 more pounds, but I don't think it's going to happen. I we haven't talked much about weight loss on the podcast because...
Oh, clearly. No, of course we haven't.
I've been a little more cagey about my weight loss this time. Maybe a little superstitious not to talk about it. I mentioned it once, but I think I'm down 151 pounds now.
Nice.
And I bought a Star-Lord coat 151 pounds ago that I could not even get my arms in at the time. And now I can now get my arms in it. It just doesn't close. Like it's about 2 inches from closing. So if I can lose about 30 more pounds by Avengers Endgame, I can go to the movie wearing my Star-Lord coat.
All right.
So I'm going to keep that up. I gotta lose a little more weight. I'm going to go to... We talked about going to Star-Lord and Drax to Guardians 2.
Oh, so long ago.
Oh, so long ago. 2 years? 2 years ago? But we couldn't make it. I'm going to try to make it to my Star-Lord coat by... I mean, I'm still not Star-Lord size, but I got a slightly larger Star-Lord coat that I'm trying my best to get into, and I will take pictures and post them. To be honest, at this point, I'm probably going to wear it regardless. It's just a matter of how well it's going to fit.
Right.
Because I can get it on.
You might do the Chris Farley thing where it's like, fat guy in a little coat.
Yeah. It's no David Spade coat on me, but it's still just a little too small. And I'm just so close, you know? It's not that...
Yep.
Like I want to wear it to Avengers Endgame. While we're still in this phase, I would like to get into my Star-Lord outfit. But yeah, I'm just so close. It's just so like right there on the edge of fitting that I'm like, I gotta get there. So I'm gonna try to do that before Avengers. All right, guys. Thanks so much for hanging out with us with the Marvel Cinematic Universe podcast. We'll be back later this week. We'll be back next week with Captain Marvel feedback. A lot of you have already sent in your Captain Marvel feedback. If you have a chance to send in some more, try to get some more Captain Marvel feedback, and we will be doing a big Captain Marvel episode next week. We'll be back. Thanks so much. Peace.
Until next time, true believers.